grasp, maybe until we see the Lord face to face. The Lord is at hand. In the book of James, that same phrase is used in kind of in the same context. There it says, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And I think for Paul and others that we read in the New Testament, you know, they were in a place where things weren't easy. Pretty difficult things that were going on in the midst of the early church. Things that they had to deal with, things that they had to figure out. It wasn't just smooth sailing. And there's this call that they made to the church, the first century church, and I think it's a call that's made to us. Establish your hearts. Remember who the Lord is. Remember His promises. Remember that He's not only made promises in the past and fulfilled those promises, that He's currently at work in our lives today, but remember the promises that are coming. Remember what will come, that the Lord will return. Man, we can rejoice in that, can't we? That this isn't the end. If this is all that there was, man, it'd be a sad picture. The Lord is at hand. The Lord will return. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And that's hard to do, isn't it? It's hard to do, to not be anxious about anything. So easy to be anxious about stuff. I think for Paul it would have been so easy to be anxious about, man, what does my life look like tomorrow? Am I going to live tomorrow? Am I going to be around tomorrow? And for Paul, he was in a place where that was a reality. And for us, that's also a reality, although we don't think about it all that much. It's a reality for yourself. It's a reality for those that you love. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, and yet we so easily and often take that for granted, don't we? So easily take that for granted. Paul was not... He was not in this place of kind of this giddy rejoicing because of where he was at, because of his circumstances. He was in this place of being able to rejoice because of who God was and what the promises that he had made and the promises that he had fulfilled in his life, and that God was active in his life, and he would see that even in the midst of being in a dark, dungy prison. He could still see that. And for him, there was still cause for rejoice outside of his immediate circumstances. That's a hard place to be. It's a hard place to get to. Do not be anxious about anything. And I think for you and me, somehow we have to be in this place where it's beyond our current set of circumstances, whatever those may be. And we all have them. Good circumstances, not so good circumstances, rotten circumstances. We all live in the midst of circumstances. That's just a reality of who we are as human beings. We're surrounded by circumstances. And yet somehow in the midst of that, we have to get to a place. We have to get to a place where we know God as God. And we accept God as God. And we accept the circumstances around us as good or as rotten as they may be. Because God is real. Because God is who He says He is. Because God has a plan in the midst of all of it. We have to get to that place. Otherwise, we live in a place where things aren't good. Things are broken. So what do we do with all that? How do we take this and how do we live this out in our lives? Day by day. as life just continually bombards us and keeps coming at us, to believe and trust God, that God is who He says He is, that He will keep His promises, that victory will be His. How do we get there? A little bit later, and we didn't read this, but in chapter 4 there, Paul makes a pretty startling, amazing statement that he's learned how to be content in every single situation. He's learned how to be content outside of his circumstances. He's learned how to be in a place of trusting his God. I think that's at the root of what he's getting at. To believe and to trust in who God is. Not even who we want to somehow conjure up in our minds who He is, but who He actually really is. Do we know God for who He is? Do we understand what He's doing? Do we place our hope in what is to come, that there is victory that is His? Or do we get swamped and bombarded by our circumstances? It's kind of this idea that's in Scripture elsewhere. If God is for you, who can be against you? If God is really who He says He is, and He's actually really real, man, regardless of what happens, regardless of circumstances, who or what can be against you? Do we have that mindset? Do we have that attitude? Is that how we think about God and the promises that He's made to us? Are we okay with God being God? Are we okay with God's plan? God's plan, not our plan. God's plan. Are we okay with that? I think what flows out of that is what we read in verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And the peace of God, that's the result, that's the outflow, that there's this deep, abiding peace in our lives. Do we experience that peace? Do we rest in that peace? Or are we just so busy fending off life as it comes at us, that it comes rushing at us? Are we so busy with all of that we don't rest in that peace, that we don't sense that peace of God, that we don't find that peace of God that God promises to you and to me? He promises that to you and to me. Do we rest in that promise? Are we in that place where we sense His peace? Let me read these words from Jesus out of the book of John, chapter 14, verses 25 through 27. And it's this part of Scripture where He's explaining this parable that He's just told to His disciples and others, the parable about the sower. And He's explaining that parable to His disciples. And this is just a part of that explanation, but it keys in on this idea of peace and this peace that God promises to you and to me. John chapter 14, verse 25 through 27. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. God has promised you and I peace. Do we walk in that peace? Do we rest in that peace? Do we sense that peace in our lives? We have a choice in that process. Right? We have a choice to make in that. We just don't. There's a part that we play in all of this as well. Go back to chapter 3 in Philippians. Chapter 3, verse 16. I don't know if we, I don't even remember specifically if we called this verse out or not. But pretty simple verse, but I think it's a profound verse. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Only let us hold true to what we have already attained. You and I have a responsibility in our faith. You and I have a responsibility, even as it relates to being in this place of peace with God. We can only do that to the extent that we understand who God is and that we understand the purposes of God and what He's up to, His plan. And we place our trust and our faith and our belief in God and God alone. It's only to that extent that we can find that peace. That's a very hard place to be. And yet, it's a promise that He's given to you and to me. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's a plus in that for us. Even as we walk in this world, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's a promise there. But we play a role. We play a part in that. Part of that comes out in the next verses here. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Anything. If there's any of that, think about those things. So easy to let our minds wander to other things. Let our hearts wander to other things. Maybe things that we desire that are maybe outside of God. So easy to go to that place. Let me read out of Mark here in chapter 4. So easy to lose sight of what God has given to us and to not be focused on Him and what He has given to us. And others are the ones, again, parable here, and others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word. And it proves unfruitful. For you and for me that live in the midst of our circumstances day in and day out, can be so easy for those things to come in and choke out the Word of God, the promises of God, the reality of God in our lives. And we can lose sight of God being at work all around us. We can lose sight of the things that He is doing, how He is providing, how He is protecting, how He is loving, how He is kind. Because you and I live in a broken world. You and I live in a place where there is death and destruction and sin. And all of that plays out around us. Now, for you and for me, living in America, we don't have to experience that extreme brokenness that happens in other places of the world. And that's part of what I want us to remember here this morning, is just how gracious our God is to us, not because of who we are, not because we even deserve it. You and I deserve nothing more than death and destruction. And I think we have to start there. Understand what we really deserve. We're going to look at a few pictures here in just a moment. And I was looking at some of these pictures just in the past week or so. You know how there's kind of those picture slideshows of kind of the year in review, that sort of thing. And I ran across one of those, and I was just looking through some of the pictures, just to kind of remember. And again, for me, and this may be a really broken way of thinking, but for me, it can help to really remember just how broken the world really is. And that can drive me to a place of being thankful and grateful for what God has given me, because I don't deserve any of that. I deserve death and destruction. I deserve so much more of even what we'll see in these pictures. I deserve death. I deserve eternal damnation, eternal separation from God. That's what I deserve. I don't know if you've ever had, you know, as we talk about peace. For me, I can remember two very specific instances of peace. I mean, I can't even really explain it, but kind of just an overwhelming sense of peace in my life, too. One was when I was about 8 or 9 years old. I can remember it had just snowed. There was probably a foot of snow on the ground or something like that. And it was one of those snows, kind of like we got in the past few days. You know, it just kind of gently fell, and there wasn't a lot of wind or anything like that, and it just covered everything. And when snow is like that, there's just this blanket that kind of just insulates everything, right? And it kind of drowns out all of the other sounds, all the other noise. That's especially true if you know, you're out in the middle of nowhere and your nearest neighbor is, you know, a mile or two away. There's just this dead silence that happens, except for maybe a few birds singing or something like that. And I can remember, again, I was 8 or 9, and I was outside, and there had been this snow that had just fallen. I just laid down in the snow, and there was just this overwhelming sense of peace. There was just a quietness. There was a gentleness, just a sense that everything was right. Everything was okay. And then about 20 years later, I experienced that once again. Once I said yes to Jesus, there was something that happened at that point in time in my life where there was just this overwhelming sense of peace. And for me, that's not typical. That sense of peace, that sense of everything's right. One day, and I'm so looking forward to this, one day that sense of peace will be as it should, right? It'll be there eternally. It'll be there forever and ever. There will never be a moment where that sense of peace is not there. For you and for me, maybe we're only going to have a few senses of what that's going to be like in this lifetime. I don't know. For me, I've only had a couple. So what I'd like us to do here as we kind of close out this morning and close out the year is to remember who God is and what He's done, and to be thankful for who He is and what He's done, and the promises that He's made to us. And so I'd like to look at just a couple pictures here. And again, for me, it's kind of maybe a broken way of thinking. But there's a lot of destruction that goes on around us. And for me, when I see that, it does. There's a gratefulness. There's a thankfulness that, you know, I'm not in that for whatever reason. By God's grace, I don't know. I don't understand it. It's not that God loves me any more than anybody else. He loves everybody. He loves everybody in these pictures that we'll see. He loves the people that are holding the guns, and he loves the people that are getting shot at. I think it breaks his heart when God sees the destruction. I know it does. I know it does. Breaks his heart when he sees the death and destruction that goes on in this world around us. And so all of that coexists in this world that we live in. And most of which we don't have to endure, we don't have to be a part of. And so I'd like to close this here for this year, this morning. And just have us pray and just remember who God is and thank Him for what has been. And maybe there's some things that come to your mind even as you look at some of those pictures that takes you to a place of thankfulness or gratefulness. And so let's just spend a few minutes just in corporate prayer together here as we close out our year. God, Father, I thank you that that you're God. I acknowledge you as God. I praise you as God. I thank you that you are the one true God, and that we can rejoice in that fact, in that truth. God, I'm just so grateful that you've given me life, that you've given me family, that you've given me friends, that you've given me so much that I don't deserve. God, I just tell you, I know what I deserve. I deserve death. I deserve the wrath and the death that was on Jesus. That's what I deserve. And anything beyond that is simply your grace and your mercy and your blessing. And I don't understand how it all works, God, but I'm thankful. I'm grateful. And I just tell you that you're my God, and that Jesus is my King. And I'm thankful for him this morning.